Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. Enemies of Liberty.
Hello. It has been said that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. That makes sense to me. I believe it's true. But it certainly isn't good news for America. It's not good news because eternal vigilance is simply too high a price for most Americans today. They're not willing to pay that much for liberty. I mean, think about it. Vigilance means paying attention to what's happening in the world. It means trying to understand what's happening. One might even have to get up off the couch, turn off the TV for a few minutes, and think. It might even mean missing the Sunday game. Really, that's asking too much of the average American voter. I mean, why should he trouble himself to be vigilant when he's got his buddy Bill up there in Washington to keep an eye on things for him? Surely, if anything important comes up, someone he can trust, like Tom Brokaw or Dan Rather or Peter Jennings, will warn him about it and tell him exactly what opinion he should have on it. The fact is, he has put off his own responsibility for vigilance onto the mass media. He expects them to be vigilant for him. You may detect a hint of sarcasm in my voice, but indeed I am not exaggerating the situation. The average white American hasn't an idea in his head that didn't come from his television receiver. The notion of the average American being vigilant is simply ridiculous. But you know, that really doesn't worry him a bit. He's not interested in liberty, so why should he care about being vigilant? What he's interested in is, when does the next ball game come on? Is there any more beer in the refrigerator? When's supper? And in America, we let these people vote. We put our liberty in their hands. So perhaps we have no right to complain when someone else takes our liberty from the uncaring hands of America's white majority. But if you don't mind, I'll complain a bit anyway. Perhaps some members of the minority of white Americans who are vigilant and who do care about liberty will find some interest in what I have to say. For a long time, there has been a very close relationship between the mass news media and various specifically Jewish propaganda organizations. I've spoken about the dominant Jewish role in America's mass media many times in my broadcasts, and I won't bore you with a repetition of that again today. The names of the people who own the major Hollywood film studios, the New York Times, and so on. But you know, it goes beyond Jewish ownership of much of the mass media. There are, for example, still many newspapers in America which are not owned by Jews. There are independent radio and television stations. But the special relationship between the Jews and the media applies to most of these nominally independent media as well as to the media actually owned by Jews. Let me give you a very specific and very current example of the way this Jewish relationship works. What have you been seeing on television and reading in the newspapers about Serbia since the NATO invasion of that country about 6 weeks ago? You've been seeing NATO soldiers giving candy bars to smiling Albanian children. You've seen NATO soldiers presiding over the reopening of the Pristina City Hall. You've seen NATO soldiers bringing law and order, bringing peace to Serbia's Kosovo province, now that those nasty Serb soldiers and policemen who had been terrorizing everyone and committing all sorts of atrocities have been chased out of the province. That, in fact, is what virtually all of the news media have been telling Americans. There were a few shootings and burnings after NATO first moved in, but NATO pretty quickly got things under control and has kept the KLA from making trouble. Now, I will read you a news release put out by the Jewish Telegraphic Agency a couple of weeks ago. The Jewish Telegraphic Agency, identified by the abbreviation JTA, is a news agency which operates much like the Associated Press or Reuters or other news agencies, except that it is an all-Jewish agency and it gathers news of special interest to Jews. The news gathered and reported by the JTA is not secret. Other news agencies or newspapers or news magazines can subscribe to JTA's news and publish it, and many of them do. But they do so selectively. They use only the news which fits. And I'm sure that you understand what I mean by that. Anyway, here's a JTA report written by Ruth Gruber and datelined Rome, July 5th. It's headlined, Albanian Leader Promises to Prevent Revenge Attacks on Jews. It reads, the leader of Kosovar Albanians issued a written promise to safeguard Kosovo's Jews and their property. Hashim Thaci met twice in recent days with a special envoy of the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, Eli Eliezeri, to whom he issued a letter ordering, quote, the entire Kosovo Liberation Army under my control to respect and protect all the Jews of Kosovo, end quote. The KLA, the letter said, quote, will also protect and preserve the property of the Jews of Kosovo, whether they are present at the moment in Kosovo or are absent and intend to return, end quote. It also guaranteed safety to representatives of the Jewish Joint Distribution Committee. Despite the assurances, members of Kosovo's tiny Jewish community, commonly identified as Serbs, remain under threat of revenge attacks from Kosovar Albanians. Speaking to JTA from Tel Aviv, Eliezeri said that the situation in Kosovo remained chaotic and dangerous for anyone not of Albanian ethnicity and not speaking Albanian. Heavily armed paramilitary vigilantes target and threaten such people, including Jews, as Serbs or Serb sympathizers. The average Kosovar Albanian, Eliezeri said, identifies Kosovar Jews who do not speak Albanian as Serbs. The government wants to control people, but they haven't succeeded yet, he said, adding that Kosovo's Jews are being threatened and ordered to leave their homes all the time. Well, this JTA report goes on to describe a few specific instances of Jews in Kosovo being threatened and ordered to leave their homes by gangs of armed Albanians. And, of course, you haven't heard a word of the news in this JTA report. You haven't seen any of it in the mainstream news media. One of the reasons is that it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the picture of smiling Albanian children accepting candy bars from NATO soldiers. It informs us that while everything in Kosovo may be all smiles for Albanians and NATO troops on camera, off camera, life is hell for the Serbs, with gangs of armed Albanians threatening them and ordering them out of their homes as the ethnic cleansing of Kosovo proceeds under NATO jurisdiction. Beyond that, let's just think for a moment about what this JTA report tells us. Let's think about what it reveals to us about the Jews. In the first place, note that the Jews are complaining that the Albanians mistake them for Serbs because, like the Serbs among whom they live, most of the Jews don't speak Albanian, which, incidentally, is a language quite distinct from any other spoken in Europe. The only people who speak it are the Albanians themselves. Many of these Jews have lived in Serbia for generations. They speak the language of the Serbs. They are mistaken for Serbs, but they are not Serbs. They are Jews. And this is not a religious distinction. Most of these Jews have no religion. Under Tito, they were virtually all communists and were riding relatively high. There's nothing startling about any of this. It is a fact that the Jews live for generations among another people. The Serbs, for example, speak the language of the other people, are mistaken for the other people, but remain entirely distinct. They are Jews, period. They feel absolutely no sense of loyalty or belonging to the country in which they were born or to the people among whom they live. They aren't concerned with the fact that the Albanians are terrorizing their Serb neighbors. The Jews of the Joint Distribution Committee in the United States and in Israel aren't concerned about the Serbs either. They are concerned only about protecting Jews and their property. And reminding the head KLA thug of the Jews' worldwide connections and of their control over the media in the United States is enough to convince him that the Jews in Kosovo should get favored treatment, that the Jews should be respected and protected while their Serb neighbors are raped, looted, and killed. So one can imagine how things go now in Serbia's NATO-occupied Kosovo province. A gang of armed thugs kicks in your apartment door at 4 o'clock in the morning and begins ripping off your wife's night clothes and grabbing the silverware. You inform them that you are a Jew, not a Serb, and perhaps show them some unspecified proof of that fact, and they turn your wife loose, give your silverware back to you, and apologize for their mistake. You point out to them that the family living next door are genuine Serbs, and so they kick in your neighbor's door while you tidy up your apartment and smile at the screams coming from the next apartment. And some people still wonder why the Jews are so hated. Why is this significant? Because in America, we are taught that the only difference between us and the Jews is that the Jews have a different religion. We are taught that aside from this religious difference, they are just like us, just as American, just as loyal, just as patriotic. So draw your own conclusions. It's clear enough that one of the reasons the mass media in America didn't print the JTA report I read to you is that the media bosses are afraid that you might draw some conclusions from it. And remember, that is true of virtually all of the mainstream media bosses in America, including those who are not Jews. This special deal between the Jews and the KLA, reported by the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, is relevant news. It was available to all of the mainstream media, but none of them would touch it because it tells people things about the Jews that the Jews prefer they not know. That in itself ought to be enough to worry a vigilant American. But before we try to decide what this means, let's consider some more evidence. Let's look at the special relationship which exists between various Jewish organizations in this country and virtually all of the mainstream media. The Jewish organizations I'm referring to now are those which serve primarily as openly recognized Jewish propaganda and lobbying organizations. Organizations such as the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the Simon Wiesenthal Center. All of the mainstream media routinely refer to these groups as respected human rights organizations and take an uncritical, almost a worshipful attitude toward them. Any press release issued by one of these outfits is regarded as gospel and is quoted without question or reservation. Shortly after the Oklahoma City bombing, the Southern Poverty Law Center sent out a fundraising letter to its supporters and a press release to the media, claiming that it was keeping an eye on over 200 armed and dangerous militia groups in the United States, and implied that these militias were somehow responsible for the bombing. The media all quoted this figure of over 200 militia groups without question, and suggested that the Southern Poverty Law Center and its chairman, Morris Deese, were doing America a favor by warning peace-loving Americans of the militia danger. As a matter of fact, there have never been more than a dozen genuine militia groups operating in the United States at any one time, if one specifies that a genuine militia is one with at least 10 active members and some sort of military organizational structure which actually holds meetings and engages in military practice of some sort. Not one of these groups poses any conceivable threat to the public, although occasionally a militia member who likes to collect weapons may get himself in trouble by being caught with an unregistered machine gun or the like. Militias don't even pose a threat to crooks like Morris Deese, but the media nevertheless collaborate enthusiastically with the Southern Poverty Law Center and other Jewish propaganda groups in raising money from a befuddled public by helping these groups portray militias as a public menace. The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, ADL for short, is a group similar to the Southern Poverty Law Center, and it also makes its money by peddling hate and fear to the public with the eager and uncritical assistance of the mainstream news media. Like the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL fabricates boogeymen, concocts phony hate crimes, and distorts facts to suit its fundraising needs. It has repeatedly fed information to the news media it knew to be false, information which the media easily could have checked and found to be false, but instead has published without question. Whenever something happens which can be useful to the hate-mongering and fear-mongering of these Jewish propaganda groups, the drive-by shooting of a black and a Korean by a young white man in Chicago earlier this month, arson committed against three synagogues in California last month, all of these groups are ready with self-serving statements to the media, and the media always are ready to be of service to them. It would be bad enough if these Jewish groups the media so eagerly front for were merely in the direct mail fundraising business, but many of them also are involved in far more sinister activity. Police agencies are familiar with the ADL's ties to organized crime, for example, but the American public isn't, because the mainstream media carefully avoid mentioning these ties. In 1985, the ADL gave its annual Torch of Liberty Award to Jewish organized crime boss Mo Dalitz at a banquet honoring him for the millions of dollars in gang loot he has poured into the ADL. Mo Dalitz was at that time the gang boss of Las Vegas and made his money in gambling, loan sharking, prostitution, and contract murder. Later, the ADL was involved in the corruption of police departments and the theft of thousands of confidential police files on people the ADL was interested in. Search warrants were obtained in the ADL's offices in Los Angeles and San Francisco, were raided by police to recover the stolen files, but the average American never had a chance to learn about these criminal activities because most of the media suppressed the news and continued referring to the ADL as a respected human rights organization. I mean, really, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith is engaged in large-scale criminal activities, including the corruption of police agencies around the country. It gives awards to notorious organized crime bosses in return for donations of criminal loot. And the mainstream media continue to tell the public that the ADL is a respected human rights organization and continue to parrot whatever the ADL has to say about someone like the Chicago shooter Benjamin Smith and the church to which he belonged. It's surreal. And the gangsterism of the ADL is by no means exceptional in the ranks of these respected human rights organizations. Morris Deese's Southern Poverty Law Center is hardly better. With the adoring support of the mass media, Deese has combined barratry with fraudulent fundraising to build up a fortune estimated at $100 million. Despite his media support, it hasn't been an entirely smooth ride for Deese, however. He orchestrated a courtroom circus when he was defending a black female communist who had stabbed a white jailer to death in North Carolina, and he was charged by the judge with attempting to suborn the perjury of a key witness in the case. Some of his former associates are especially strong in their condemnation of Morris Deese. One lawyer, Courtney Mullen, who has worked with Deese, says that Deese is not just immoral, he's amoral. He says that the Southern Poverty Law Center under Deese is an evil institution. Another former Deese associate, Atlanta lawyer Millard Farmer, calls Deese and his Southern Poverty Law Center, quote, a Jim and Tammy Faye Baker operation, end quote. The problem is that while Jim and Tammy Faye Baker got caught and sent to prison, Deese is still being quoted by the mass media as a respected human rights activist. Really? Deese is perhaps best characterized by the depositions filed in the Alabama Court of Appeals in connection with his divorce from his second wife, Maureen Bass. These sworn depositions describe Deese's bisexual activity and his sexual molesting of his young stepdaughter and leave the reader convinced that his associate Courtney Mullen's description of him as amoral is right on target. Despite all of this, statements put out by Deese's Southern Poverty Law Center in connection with the drive-by shootings in Chicago have been quoted by virtually all of the major news media in recent weeks, of course giving Deese's self-serving spin to the news. So now, I've just discussed two aspects of the way the mass media in America inform the American people about what's going on in the world. I quoted a Jewish Telegraphic Agency report containing news with very interesting implications about the Jewish role in our affairs, a report which was avoided by all of the mass media because of those implications. And I've described the slavish dependence of the media on the biased and falsified reports issued by Jewish organizations such as the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit and the Southern Poverty Law Center. These are just two illustrations. Next week, I'll provide more illustrations. But today's illustrations are enough, I believe, to persuade most thoughtful people that we have a serious problem with our mass media. And as I indicated earlier, that problem goes beyond the mere fact of Jewish ownership or control of a vastly disproportionate share of the mass media. What we have is a lockstep ideological orthodoxy which has permeated all of the media. They all follow the Jewish party line, whether they are owned by Jews or not. They all suppress politically incorrect news, and they all willingly propagate the lies of Jewish propaganda organizations such as the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center. In a free society, the most important single function of the mass media is not to bring ball games to the masses, and it should not be simply to make money for the media bosses. The essential function of the mass media is to be diligent and responsible bearers of the vigilance which the masses themselves are incapable of bearing. In America, the mass media not only do not serve that function, they consciously and deliberately misinform the people. By so doing, they all have become enemies of liberty. Thanks for being with me again today.